this. All right, I'm wearing really tall shoes. I'm Barb. I'm an alcoholic. Whatever. My sobriety date is June 19th of 2011. Oh my God, I swear to God, I'm sober. I came down, a lot of you guys know, I came down to Tampa and detoxed on my friend's couch in the beginning of June, and still had to use one more time, and then June 19th, for whatever reason, I just haven't picked up since. All I can say is that you guys have been wonderful. I want to talk about these two rows right here of women. You guys have been amazing. I remember actually at this meeting the first time coming in. I mean, and I'm a lot, you know, angry girl. I remember the first time I came in here, and even though I've been so angry and talking about how much I hate Tampa and hate AA, and I don't know if I can be sober and how angry I was, I remember walking here one night and some girls yelled my name. They're like, Barb. And I remember feeling so welcomed. And, you know, I'd been around before, and just seeing, like, just being in a new city and getting sober again and remembering, like, how loving and kind and patient you guys are. And you led me to a God, and you led me to a sponsor that doesn't look like me, but, she, man, can she speak my language? And that girl can shut me up in 2 seconds. Monica, you've been amazing, like Jesus. And also to the girl that I chose tonight to speak, Joanna. And so she was like, she's kind of quiet and like under the radar. I'm pretty loud, you know. And then I just found myself hanging out with her. And then one night she was driving me home, because that's what she does. She's this amazing example of AA. She's quiet, but she does it. And we were driving home, and the first thing I noticed is that we liked the same music, and that's all I really cared about at the time, was if you were cool, and, like, you know, you girls were too girly girl. And I'm like, yeah, you like punk music? I like punk music. And so then I'm like, yeah, I like you, Joe. And but then, and, like, she just taught me how to be a friend, and there were a couple of times that I was thinking, like, why do I respect her so much? It's the simple thing she says, like, you know, I'm complaining about my sponsor that had told me to do something. And I'm like, why does she care if I went to this meeting? And she, you know, Joe just comes out with, wow, it sounds like she really cares about you, you know, and it just stopped my brain. And then I'm complaining about a friend who I think is demanding and too needy or whatever. And she's just like, wow, it sounds like, you know, God, that resentment would really make you lose a good friendship. And it just, like, stops me right there. She doesn't feed into it. She just says, like, simple things. And I'm like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And it just, like, it shuts me up. And then she's also just really cool and really funny, and has just been an amazing friend. And I was honored. I'm just honored to have her in my life. And I just really wanted to hear her story tonight. And that's why I asked her to speak, because she's just one of those people that sticks out in my brain. So, Joanna, come speak.
Hey, I'm Joe, and I'm an alcoholic. Hey. Yeah, Barb is awesome. She's great, because she knows this is the last thing that I want to be doing, but I'll do it because she asked me to. And that's kind of how, I don't know, I was taught to do AA is, you might not want to do it, but you should probably do it anyways. Or I'm going to bug you about it until you do it, or, you know. It's going to bug you until you do it. So either way, you're going to end up doing it. Ha. Which, I mean, that's not the only thing about AA, obviously. But anyway, so my sobriety date was October 7th, 2010. Well, it still is. And and I got sober on my 22nd birthday. Yeah, my 22nd birthday. Anyway, so I got, let's see. Crap, I'm really nervous. And, okay, so Barb, she's amazing. She taught me how to be your friend. She taught me how to tell people, like, just what I meant instead of, you know, beating around the bush or, you know, patting them on the back and just saying, like, oh, I'm really sorry. Like, no. She made it so easy for me to be honest with her, and that makes it easy for me to be honest with other people, you know, and because that's what keeps me sober is when people tell me the truth, you know, when people don't coddle me or tell me like, oh, you know, maybe next time, like, no, like you need to come on, get your stuff together. And that's exactly what Monica did for me. We have the same sponsor. And I remember the first time I met Barb, it was in the parking lot of this fine establishment. And, you know, I saw her and she, to me, she looked just fine. But, you know, then she started talking and I was like, oh, wow. I'm so glad you're here, Barb. And ever since then, it's just been like, I have wanted to pick her up. I've wanted to be there for her. I've wanted to see her grow, and she has. Like, she is another example of just doing it. She might bitch about it, but she'll do it. And she'll do it with, like, everything inside of her. And it's incredible to see how she's grown, and it's just been a year. You know, this is, it's just been one, you know. And I, you know, I just hope that you continue. Because I love you. I love seeing your face. But, so yeah, I was born in Tampa. And my parents are awesome. They aren't to blame for this. You know, they aren't to blame for my alcoholism or me being really weird. Anyways, that was all me. And, yeah, I have two older sisters, and they're really normal. They're married. One of them has these two beautiful children that are in town tonight. So, like, I'm halfway thinking about them, and I'm halfway here. But I'm trying to stay right here. So, you know, and I grew up in Tampa. I had a normal childhood. Two great parents. They're still together to this day. They tried to give me everything that a child could ever want, you know, and they really did. And, I mean, they're amazing. Like, today I look at them, and I'm like, how are you this great? You know, like, how do you do that? How do you live like that and want to help other people just because you want to help them? Because truthfully for me, like, I'm selfish and self-centered to the core. And that's the root of all of my problems. It's me. And I only learned that when I came here. And I only learned how to be a friend and how to be a daughter to these two amazing people when I got here. You know, I grew up quickly and in a short time here, you know, because it was definitely about time. Let's see, I started drinking and, sorry, I'm probably going to talk about drugs. I started drinking and smoking weed when I was like 14, and I started off really pretty aggressively because, I mean, once I got a hold of the stuff and like I realized like how awesome it was, like I wasn't letting it go. I just wasn't. You know, and nothing you could tell me about where it was going to take me would stop me. And nothing I was doing to the people around me could stop me or slow me down. If anything, it sped me up. You know, it's like, oh, well, got to run away from you now. So I'm going to do that. And, you know, and I did that from 14 on and, you know, till I, you know, reached my bottom, which it may not even be my bottom. Who knows? Only God does. But it got me here, and that's the most important thing. So, yeah, like, I got through high school drinking on the weekends, and then I would bring it to school sometimes because I went to an all-girls Catholic school, and I thought that that was, like, the worst thing that could ever happen to a person, when really, like, my parents were giving me this amazing education that put me, like, levels above anyone, you know, and I was like, this is horrible. My life sucks. How could you do this to me, you know? And they're just trying to love me and give me what I need. And so I graduated from there, and I went to Flagler College in St. Augustine. And then that's where, like, my drinking every day, all the time, really took off. Because, like, as soon as I got out and away from my parents' watch and you know, which really I got away from that when I was at home, too. But, like, it was just easier, you know. And I had ample amount of time to do it. Because, you know, I didn't think college was that hard. But it turns out it is, because I didn't do very well. yeah, so I started drinking pretty much, you know, every night. It started every night at college instead of, you know, like on the weekends and then, you know, sparsely throughout the week because I could do it whenever I wanted. So I was drinking hard every night, and that started to go over to the mornings because I was hungover and I needed something to get me through, truthfully. And You know, and along the way, I, you know, tried a lot of other things, and nothing did what alcohol did, though. You know, nothing got me to where I wanted to be like alcohol did, because alcohol was just so consistent. Like, there's this guy who gives a talk, or like Earl, my my grand sponsor, like, swears by him, so I have to listen to him. And so I listened to him, and like, what, the way that he talks about it is perfect. You know, it's like that heart and lungs working place, you know, and it's always on the table, because that's what it was for me, you know. And I spent a lot of my parents' money, because, you know, they're amazing, and they wanted to give me an education. They didn't want me to have to, you know, divide my attention between anything but school. Of course, you know, I was really like focusing all my attention on alcohol and like no attention to school, but that's besides the point. Anyways, so I did the minimum, stayed in school long enough just so that I could protect my drinking, keep drinking how I wanted to drink. I remember like one summer before, let's see, like it was one summer, like a year or two before I got sober, my parents actually sat me down and talked to me about my drinking. Because they had found, you know, like four or five empty bottles, and that was just from like one night. And they had seen me taking trash bags down from the attic where I lived. Like, I wasn't really good at hiding it at the end, because it's hard to hide the massive amounts, you know? Like, it's really difficult. Bottles clank, cans jingle, like, plus the smell alone, seriously, of me and liquor. So, you know, and they sat me down and they tried in their best way to bring it to my attention. And I told them, no, kindly, F off. I am fine. And so, you know, I went back to school and I kept at it. And then a couple nights before my 22nd birthday, I went out. And around this time, I was trying to kind of slow down and kind of control it a little bit, but wasn't doing a very good job, obviously. Started off with, like, I was going to just drink a couple glasses of wine, ended up with, like, you know, three, four bottles, and then went to the bar. And, you know, it delineated from there, and eventually I got kicked out of one bar, thrown onto the street because I was cussing at the bartender, and I was running down the street barefoot, and I busted my toe and my face and my, actually, my shoulder as well. And I woke up the next morning not knowing what happened, and found broken glass, like, all over my apartment, because I also like to throw things and break things when I'm wasted. Like, I don't know what's going to happen when I drink is basically what it is. And it gets worse and worse. You know, like one night I'm just yelling at you. The next night I'm throwing things at you, punching you, telling you to get the fuck out of the house. Like, excuse me. Whoops. Ouch. You know, and nobody really wanted to be around me at that point. And I woke up and, you know, my sheets are bloody from me doing stupid things the night before, and I couldn't do it anymore. Like, I reached a place where, like, my body just I couldn't will myself out of bed anymore. I couldn't wake up and say I'm sorry and clean up the mess and do the long array of things that I had to do just to make it okay with my friends or okay with the person I lived with or okay in my own mind, you know, what I was doing. I couldn't put the front up anymore. I just couldn't. I was done. And I hated myself so much. And, you know, so I did what I do. I call my dad, you know, and he comes and gets me and he puts me in treatment because he doesn't really know what else to do with me. You know, like, I'm sleeping for 3 days straight on a bed, sweating out alcohol, like, shaking, and he doesn't know what to do with his 22-year-old daughter, and that's scary. Like, he doesn't know where I've been. He doesn't know, really, like, what I've been up to because I'm, you know, trying to protect it with all my might. Like, he's still thinking that I'm trying to control it when really I can't. I can't at this point. I am unable to control anything. And so they put me in treatment, and I was there for 3 months, and basically just taught me that I was a really horrible person, truthfully. Kind of just showed me, like, how selfish I was being, and which was good because I needed that. I needed to be shown how destructive I was being to my family and to my friends and to everyone around me, and that I wasn't really going anywhere because my delusion thought that I was going places. Yeah. So, yeah, after that, like, sometime during the middle, I got a sponsor, and that sponsor is still my sponsor today. Her name's Monica, and she's pretty great. She's pretty cool. I got out of treatment on New Year's Eve, and she picked me up, and she made me come here for the New Year's dance, which if anyone has been to New Year's dance in the past couple of years, you'll know what I'm talking about. And anyway, so I'm sitting there, and I'm wondering why I'm here, and I'm realizing that I have nowhere else to go. Truthfully, I really have nowhere else to go. Like, and this place is actually allowing me to be here, so that's pretty fantastic. And so I stay, and you know, we get busy in the steps, and, you know, I still stay very selfish and me, and, you know, I refuse to get the things that you've told me to get, you know, service positions, stuff like that. So I, you know, continue to put myself outside of other people, and, because I'm really good at that, I'm really good at hiding. And, you know, my sponsor told me, you know, why don't you vacuum after the meeting? That would be a good idea for you. And, so I took the vacuum out here, and I think that was, and I started vacuuming after the meetings, and I think that was the first time that I really felt a part of something, you know? And that's like when I really felt like, wow, okay, so this is what a home group is. This is what respect is. This is what you do here. And I liked it. You know, I did. I liked it. I felt a small sense of pride, and ever since then, I like, you guys just can't get rid of me here. And it's unfortunate for y'all, but so yeah, I mean, the step changed my life, and then, you know, meeting people along the way changed it even further, and I got to see God in ways that I never thought that I could ever see him. You know, because for a long time, like, I walked away from God. Like, my parents brought me to church every Sunday, I showed up drunk, you know, and that's not a way to do things, you know. That's not a way to feel God. That's not a way to get closer to anything larger than yourself, or, you know, seek humbly for something larger. It's just not. And but I got to do it now, you know. And I have a better understanding of what a higher power means. You know, I have a better understanding of what my God means to me, and he's huge, you know. And it's just, I mean, it's incredible the ways that I've seen other people change. And it's just amazing. And I'm really glad that I could come, you know, and speak for Barb and stay sober. I really, it's a freaking miracle, but it's the best thing I think I've ever done in my entire life. Definitely. And if you're new, just keep coming, you know. Don't just, you know, give up because your head's telling you something, you know, because my head told me a lot of things at the beginning. None of them were true, you know. And finally, once I stayed sober for a while, you know, God was able to come in and tell me the truth, you know, and show me the reality of life, which is pretty amazing, you know. And the problems that I have aren't really problems, you know, they're just opportunities. And there are different ways in which, you know, like, I can rely greater on God and less on, you know, myself, because really, when I rely on myself, it doesn't work, and it never has, even though I want to say it has, it hasn't. Just thank you guys so much for my sobriety. Barb, thank you for having me talk. Have a good night.